leading today's conversation. In the know, on the go. This is Night Chat on 938 Now.
And I'm Susan Ng. Good evening. Thank you for joining us on the Night Chat. Today we are going to talk about pediatric asthma in conjunction with World Asthma Day on the 7th of May. We're going to be talking with the doctor in the house with us this evening to try and help educate all of us and also to raise awareness amongst parents about the symptoms, treatment and management of asthma in children. And with me tonight is Dr. Jenny Tang. Dr. Tang is a pediatrician at SBCC Baby and Child Clinic, and she specializes in asthma, Dr. Tang?
Yes.
Yes, and the clinic is part of the Healthway Medical Group. Now, Dr. Tang, there are lots of people with perhaps concerns, you know, that their children may have asthma. And I do know personally of many people who have asthma, and some have outgrown and they seem fine in adulthood. Some seem to battle with the condition even as adults, and you know, even in their older age they still continue to have these symptoms. Some are able to manage the symptoms quite well. For us parents who have children with symptoms of asthma, you know, we would have been told by the children's pediatricians and doctors that they have this condition. So treatment, management then becomes important, particularly when children are still school going. Also recognizing those symptoms becomes very important as well. So let's start off by talking about statistics, because before we started, I did ask Dr. Tang for some statistics, and Dr. Tang gave me some. So we're going to share that with you. What are the numbers like, Dr. Tang?
So asthma is very common in childhood, and we see in Singapore about 20% of children have asthma.
So that's one in five children?
Yes.
Do
yes.
they mostly outgrow asthma?
So I would use the term outgrow in quotation marks, because asthma is a chronic inflammatory disorder. And although as children mature and their airways get larger, the symptoms do get better. And in a good number of children, the symptoms seem to go away for a while. But this sometimes comes back in adulthood. So especially the children with more severe asthma, the children who have poorer lung function to begin with, and the children who have more allergies tend not to so-called outgrow their asthma.
And I'm sure you get this question a lot from parents who come to your clinic. Are children born with asthma?
I wouldn't say that children are born with asthma, but they do have genetic tendencies for asthma. So that would be apparent if there is a strong family history of asthma or other allergic disorder in their parents or siblings. So this would include asthma or eczema or allergic rhinitis or food allergies. And often these genetic tendencies will interact with their environmental exposures, and this then results in asthma that often come a little bit later in life, but often in early childhood below the age of five usually.
So there are many factors then that contribute to
yes.
someone who have asthma. Can a child develop asthma later in life, maybe as a teenager?
Yes, that can happen, but 80%, like I say, 80% of children who have childhood asthma will present with the first symptoms below the age of five. So it's important actually to make an early diagnosis, because early diagnosis and optimal treatment actually will result in better long-term lung function and quality of life.
Right, to help us understand this, so if a child or a teenager or a young adult presents with symptoms of asthma later in life, it could be, it is then that they would have had the symptoms while they were younger, and then they, again using the term, outgrow it, and then it comes back again? And what are those triggers then?
Okay, so often at the beginnings of asthma, it would, like I said, be a combination of a genetic tendency together with environmental exposures. Mm-hmm. So this often could start as an early viral infection, for example, like infection with the RSV virus, also known as a respiratory syncytial virus or the rhinovirus. So infection with this virus actually is known to increase the risk of future asthma. Exposure to passive smoking or environmental pollution can increase the risk of future asthma, and also early sensitization to environmental allergens like house dust mites can increase the future development of asthma. So having developed the first symptoms of asthma, which commonly is wheezing, coughing, breathlessness or shortness of breath or chest pain, the common triggers would include viral infections, pollution, smoking, exercise. Sometimes the simple act of laughter can trigger asthma. Changes in temperature, humidity, sometimes medications like aspirin can also trigger asthma.
Wow, what about stress? Does that bring it on too?
Extreme stress. It can. So sometimes when there is the stress of illness or the stress of exam, sometimes can increase the frequency of asthma flare-ups.
Right. So as we are starting to talk about all the symptoms and what to look out for, here's that basic question, right? Is there just one type of asthma, or are there many different types of asthma?
That's a good question. So asthma is a very complex disease and very heterogeneous. So the most common asthma that we easily recognize, of course, is allergic asthma, which is actually the most common form of childhood asthma. So this form of asthma would present as symptoms of asthma that is often triggered by exposure to allergens in the environment, like we discussed earlier. And usually the child would have other concomitant allergic diseases like eczema or allergic rhinitis or food allergy. And usually there would be a family history. And if the doctor looking after runs some tests, then actually we can also demonstrate sensitization to the environmental allergens. Other types of asthma would be, the other big group would be the non-allergic asthma, but this group would be more the adult type asthma or the adult onset asthma. Sometimes we have a pure exercise-induced asthma, but actually often asthma that with exercise-induced symptoms are often allergic asthma that's not controlled, not just pure exercise-induced asthma. And we also see asthma in obese patients, which has a different etiology altogether.
Wow. So there are lots of things actually for parents to look out for. It is not as simple as... Do you find that amongst the people you've met, you know, you've had a long career looking at this particular issue and this particular illness, do you have people who diagnose themselves incorrectly? You often hear people say, I have asthma, but they may not be.
Yes, we see that. We see both sides of the story. So we see people who actually have asthma, but who do not acknowledge the fact that they have asthma and don't use the medications as prescribed. And of course, we also actually less. We do see children who do not have asthma that parents think that have asthma. I think because asthma is a chronic disease and the label is not often put on, both by the parents and their doctors. So there are actually many illnesses in childhood that can look like asthma. For example, wheezing. So wheezing is classical asthma, but not all wheezing is asthma. Okay, so especially in early childhood, many viral illnesses can cause wheezing. So like bronchiolitis, bronchitis, things like reflux can also cause wheezing. Sometimes asthma in childhood can present as a chronic cough. So there are, again, many other common causes of chronic cough, like other lung diseases like bronchiectasis or whooping cough, or heart diseases sometimes can present as a wheezing disorder or a coughing disorder. So in these scenarios, it is not asthma, but sometimes the label of asthma is put on.
So the best thing to do, really, if you have a concern, would be to see your family doctor or your pediatrician to get a proper diagnosis, rather than to diagnose it yourself and then incorrectly treat it.
Yes, of course.
Yeah?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
yes.
So let's talk about treatment then. Specifically for young children who are school-going, is it difficult to manage those symptoms and treat them? Because, you know, when children are out there playing and then they forget that perhaps there are certain things they need to keep a lookout for themselves. And when they're really young, they may not be able to do that. What can parents do?
Well, I think firstly, the diagnosis has to be correct. So that's really important because when we make a diagnosis of asthma, so firstly, it's going to be a long-term treatment because it's chronic disease. And often compliance to prescription medicines are very important. Yeah, so I think the first thing is to make sure the diagnosis is correct. And then secondly, if your doctor has decided that long-term medications is indicated, then actually compliance to the daily use is important to keep the asthma symptoms under control.
So if you have a young child who is school-going, can that be easily managed?
Yes. So I think every child is different and every family is different. So depending on the needs and the preferences of the child and the family, I think you can work in close partnership with the doctors to decide what's the best plan. So, for example, the type of device that's most suitable for the child, the regime, whether it's once a day or twice a day, or whether the child would prefer to use oral medication. The cost, of course, is very important. And the way we deliver the medication, often in children who cannot manage their inhalers, we use spacers, and that really helps.
So for some of these children, the medications and the way their symptoms are managed will have to be quite long-term.
Yes.
And until they, again, we use this term loosely, outgrow it, then they should be carefully managed. Now, if they are, these kids can live pretty much normal life?
Yes.
Especially
yes.
In school?
Yeah. So I think for kids, most kids have mild to moderate asthma. So this can be easily and effectively managed by controller medications. And one of the main goals of treating asthma actually is to have a normal quality of life, to have very good lung function, to have no exacerbations or flare-ups, and to have no side effects from medication. So that would be the goal of treatment. And in most cases of mild to moderate asthma, we can achieve that with a good care plan.
And I'm sure you would have heard people come in, and I've heard these stories myself, of people coming into your clinic to say, you know, so-and-so has told me that because my child has asthma, they can do this, cannot do this, can't eat this, cannot eat that. So some are myths, I'm sure. You're smiling now. So some of these things are myths, I'm sure. And some things might very well have fact to it. We're going to come back and talk about this somewhat. And also the thing is, there are things that I've been told that people with asthma should not do, cannot do. Is there one thing that a person or child with asthma absolutely cannot do?
Well, so I would say that if we have identified triggers for asthma, then we should take steps to minimize or avoiding the trigger. Uncommonly, asthma can be precipitated by food allergy, and this combination sometimes can result in fatal asthma. So I think definitely if there's food allergy and asthma, then definitely we should avoid the indicated food.
So it's very good and very important to separate truth, fact, and myths, because they all live together in the same space, so much so that most people don't know when it's the truth and, you know, when it is a myth. And you would have heard some of these myths, and we're going to come back and talk more about that. If you have questions for Dr. Jenny Tang, you can call us at 669-11938, or you can send us your questions via WhatsApp to 963-11938, facebook.com/938. Now, you can send us your comments there as well. Now, before Stanley left the studio, he did have some things that he said to me that his father had told him when he was young. He had asthma as he was growing up, but he has outgrown asthma. And, you know, one of the things had to do with diets. And you get this a lot, I'm sure. People come into your clinic and says, you know, my grandmother told me that if my child has asthma, they cannot eat this, that, and the other. And every time I mention this, you smile. A very wide smile. One myth that I've heard, and this is what Stan said to me, that if you have asthma, absolutely no cold foods. Is that true?
Well, I would say that I wouldn't say no cold foods, but I would say that if cold foods typically and regularly triggers asthma symptoms, then what you do have is uncontrolled asthma. Okay, so I said earlier that we aim to have normal quality of life. So if we had to stop the child from eating ice cream or having the occasional cold drink, then actually I think that would be, I think, compromising the child's quality of life. So in a child with well-controlled asthma, a cold drink or ice cream actually doesn't trigger symptoms. So my advice to parents usually is that if the child has well-controlled asthma, he can do everything that his friends does. He should not be different from his friend. But in the event that the child is ill or has an asthma flare-up, then actually we should avoid some of the things that can make the cough or the wheeze worse. And for that period, short period, I would say maybe avoid the cold drinks and the ice cream just for the couple of days.
Right. So the important word here is trigger.
Yes.
So long as something triggers the symptoms of asthma, those should be avoided. But they should not be used as a blanket. You cannot do this, that, and the other. Because you did say earlier that a child who has been diagnosed, is properly treated, can live very much a normal life and do everything that his friends do.
Yes. So a child with well-controlled asthma should not be easily triggered by the common triggers of asthma.
Okay, so we'll come back and talk more about this, you know, and if you have questions, again, you can get in touch with us in the usual way. We're speaking tonight with Dr. Jenny Tang. Dr. Tang is a pediatrician at SBCC Baby and Child Clinic, Asthma, Lung, Sleep and Allergy Center, and SBCC is a member of Healthway Medical Group. We're on the night chat. I'm Susan Ng. Stay with us.
Now.
And I'm Susan Ng. Welcome into the night chat. Thank you for staying with us. Tonight, we are talking about asthma in conjunction with World Asthma Day that was on the 7th of May. We hope today to be able to educate parents and also to raise awareness amongst parents about the symptoms, treatments and management of asthma in children. Joining me tonight in the studio is Dr. Jenny Tang. Dr. Tang is a pediatrician at SBCC Baby and Child Clinic, Asthma, Lung, Sleep and Allergy Center, and SBCC is a member of Healthway Medical Group. If you have questions for us, you can call us at 669-11938 or you can WhatsApp us at 963-11938 or you can go to facebook.com/938 now and ask your questions there. We have a question on our Facebook page. We'll take that in just a moment. We said earlier, Dr. Tang, that, you know, when a child has asthma, if the symptoms are diagnosed early enough, then if parents work together with their doctors, family doctors, the child's pediatrician, then these symptoms can be managed and they should be managed quite properly so that the child can have a decent normal life and, you know, play with his friends in school and do whatever the other kids do. And I think the most important factor for me of our conversation earlier is the word trigger. There are many myths and facts, misconceptions about asthma. You've heard them all, I'm sure. But those myths perhaps could be truths if the words triggers come into play. For example, we talked about the consumption of cold foods. If cold foods triggers asthma symptoms in your child, then you should avoid them, but you should not say no cold foods altogether. And you would have also heard, and this is a question that I had from someone, I mean, there are things like cooling foods, and then heaty foods. You're laughing again. Good foods, you know. And so for this person, the father says that heaty foods are good. So soup kambing was on his menu when he was growing up, because he had asthma. These are...
Okay, so we do get that a lot in the clinic. Yeah, so I would say that there's no scientific basis to endorse these concepts. So apart from some foods that have some scientific studies, for example, citrus. So citrus fruits sometimes can trigger a little bit more cough, and also cold foods, or also gassy drinks sometimes, because the sulfur dioxide actually becomes an irritant in the airway. So some of these foods can actually trigger more cough. Foods that have also been proven to actually trigger coughs and asthma are foods that have coloring and preservatives. So kids who have asthma tend to be more sensitive to these ingredients in the foods. So these have some scientific basis. So apart from these, I would say the heaty foods and the cool foods, I'm afraid there is no scientific basis that endorses these concepts, and I often do not agree with right. with the diets that are prescribed as such by people who believe in these diets. Yeah.
But if these diets don't cause the child any harm,
yes,
then it's okay.
Yes, yes, I would agree with that. Yeah. So I think in all things, I think especially in the older generation, I think there are many beliefs that run with the disease in asthma. So in general, I would say that if something or an action or doesn't cause any harm, then actually it's okay. Yeah.
So here's a question on our Facebook page from Maria. Some of my family members have asthma. Each time it triggers them, they use a nebulizer to minimize those symptoms. Her question is, what better ways are there to cure asthma totally?
Okay, so in acute asthma flare-ups, we would be using quick relief medications. So this would come commonly in the form of a blue inhaler or nebulized bronchodilators. So this would actually be used for acute asthma flare-ups. But for long-term treatment of asthma, when we are trying to address the root cause of asthma, I would suggest, or all authorities would actually agree, okay, we are in a consensus about this, that you should be using, as on a daily basis, your controller medications as prescribed. Okay, so this usually would not come in the form of a nebulizer, but it would come in the form of an inhaler, usually, that contains inhaled steroids, sometimes in combination with other controller medications like long-acting bronchodilators. In young children, sometimes we do use oral medications called antileukotrienes, and this is an alternative form of controller medication. Unfortunately, these medicines control asthma. They give the child a good quality of life. They prevent the flare-ups that sometimes can be quite dangerous, and they control the asthma symptoms and optimize the long-term lung function. But at this point in time, I would say that we have no actual cure
right.
For the disease. In children who are sensitized to environmental allergens like house dust mite, or in adults who have this together with allergic rhinitis, recent guidelines have included the use of sublingual immunotherapy to control the allergy reaction to environmental allergens. So this can also help. But at this moment, there is no cure.
So no cure. So management is important then?
Yes.
Management of symptoms. And you said that, to me, these words are important, as prescribed. So whatever has been prescribed should be followed through. What if you have further questions, you know how, what you can do. You can either call us, you can WhatsApp us, 963-11938, or you can just go to facebook.com/938. Now leave us your comments there. Our phone number is 669-11938. What if a child or anyone is prescribed all the medications that you had mentioned and they don't adhere to the medications? What could be those effects?
Well, like I said, controller medications address the root cause of the inflammation of the airways, which is what asthma is all about. So if we do not use the medications as prescribed, then there'll be more uncontrolled asthma. So there'll be more symptoms. There'll be flare-ups, sometimes asthma attacks, which can potentially be life-threatening. In the long term, actually, the lung function can deteriorate. And there might be what we call airway remodeling, and you will end up with airway stenosis and a lower lung function in future.
Right. And if children are always wheezing and they have this persistent cough that you mentioned earlier, and this coughing could keep the child up at nights and it affects his quality of sleep and his parents as well, if they have to be up to look after the child, this would then also work adversely. It's against the child because he's not getting enough sleep. And in the daytime, if the child is coughing all the time, then that is not really good if he's going to school either.
Yes, yes. So certainly the asthma symptoms would compromise the quality of life of the child. It would also actually be disruptive to family life. So loss of school days, loss of parent work days, interruption on school activities, that definitely will factor in a child who's not using his controller medications.
So if a parent has concerns when the child is really young and they are listening to you and they feel that perhaps their child needs to be looked at by a doctor, their family doctor would be the first port of call, or at least their pediatrician even?
Yes.
There's
yes,
no need to go to the emergency room for this.
Okay, so in most situations, in mild flare-ups, a general pediatrician or a general practitioner would be able to make the initial assessment and, if necessary, start treatment.
Then that treatment becomes important then, because what I'm hearing you say is that the earlier you begin, the better it is for the child.
Yes.
And the numbers are great, because if you've missed the first part of our conversation, Dr. Tang did say that 1 in 5 children actually present with asthma. And out of this, you know, 2/3 are born with it. And of course, there are environmental factors as well that contribute to the symptoms getting worse, or at least you notice the symptoms. But at the end of the day, I think what's important to remember is that there is no cure for it. Some kids do outgrow this. But if there's no cure for it, then I would think management of those symptoms become very important as the child is growing up. And then when they become an adult, if they still present with these symptoms as young adult children, then the management becomes important, because at every stage of the child's life, as they experience, you know, going from school to secondary school to preschool to work, they need to manage all of these symptoms, because as you grow up, your lifestyle changes. You have more and more activities, and you do not want to not take part in those activities, because then it does impede, you know, your normal way of life, so to speak. So let's now talk to parents with kids who have asthma and they are battling these symptoms on a day-to-day basis. Give us some tips, some strategies that parents can use so that it becomes easier, not just for them, the children, but for themselves too, and if they have multiple children with asthma.
Okay, I think the first thing is most important is to have the correct diagnosis. Like we discussed earlier, many things can masquerade as asthma, so that's the first thing. Secondly, I think work together with the doctor to make a best plan for the child. Every child is different. The severity of the asthma is different. Identify triggers that trigger asthma and take steps to avoid these. Use the medications as prescribed. I think that's key in getting the asthma under control and to optimize the quality of life. The other important thing that's important to know is to recognize asthma symptoms. So that you can help the child to manage flare-ups. So this could be done with a written asthma action plan that your doctor may provide you with. So this little plan can actually advise you the common scenarios where asthma symptoms can flare up, teach you what to do in terms of managing controller medications and quick relief medications, and also advise when you actually need to be worried and make an unscheduled visit to your doctor or to the emergency department. I think last of all, I think in any chronic disease, I think regular review with the doctor is very important, because then at each visit, the doctor can reassess the control of the asthma, run the necessary tests, and then adjust the medications accordingly or address any ongoing concerns that you may have.
Would a child with asthma also present with symptoms of other illnesses that might lay dormant until a later time?
Okay, so a child with asthma, which is an allergic disease in childhood usually, often comes together with other allergic diseases. So sometimes before even asthma shows up, which is a little bit later, they can have eczema in earlier years, or food allergy, And then allergic rhinitis. So 40% of children with allergic rhinitis actually have asthma, and 80% of children with asthma have allergic rhinitis. So all this can come together in the same child.
Wow. So if a child has these symptoms that you've just mentioned, but have not been diagnosed with asthma, asthma could come later then?
Yes. So I would say that anybody who has food allergy early in life, or anybody who has infantile eczema, actually has an increased risk of asthma later in life. And the doctor who's looking after your child should actively watch out for symptoms and start treatment early.
Wow. So then that's when you often hear people say, suddenly I have asthma, or suddenly I've been diagnosed with asthma, but it's not sudden.
Yeah, you could say that,
right?
Because
they've had all of these things from the time they were born, but they didn't present with asthma whilst they were babies or toddlers or even young children. And so later as teenagers, and I've heard this, you know, teenagers or parents tell me that teenagers suddenly were diagnosed with asthma. But I guess if I had asked more questions, I would have found that they could have had, or they definitely would have had, allergic rhinitis or food allergies or eczema or one of these things, or a combination of these things.
Yes, and also they could have illnesses that were not called asthma, but could have been actually, in retrospect, a first presentation of asthma. So something that was called bronchitis or chest infection, chronic cough assigned to some other diagnosis, that potentially could have been the first presentation of asthma much earlier in life. Yes.
Wow. Okay, so many things for us to have a think about. And indeed, I hope that our conversation today was able to help you with, you know, more tips and strategies on how to manage, but also to raise awareness about the issue of asthma, which is not as uncommon as we think it is, because the numbers are quite stark that, you know, many children do have asthma, but if properly managed and treated, they can lead a very good quality of life. If you had just one thing to say to parents of kids who have asthma now, what would that be?
Well, it would be that asthma is quite common. So if you think your child has symptoms suggestive of asthma, please make sure you see the doctor to get the correct diagnosis. And even though it's a chronic disease, your child can have a normal quality of life like all his friends.
Dr. Tang, thank you very much. That was very enlightening, and I'm glad that you were able to spend some time with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Jenny Tang talking to us more about asthma in children. Dr. Tang is a pediatrician at SBCC Baby and Child Clinic, Asthma, Lung, Sleep and Allergy Center, and SBCC is a member of Healthway Medical Group. I'm Susan Ng. This has been the Night Chat. Thank you for your company. 938 Now.